Maybe it's because I've seen the movie. Maybe it's just because I've lived life too long. I got a sneaking suspicion that's going to backfire. We'll talk about backfiring next week. But man, Bruce is working awful hard at this prayer thing, isn't he? I'm dying to ask, but I'm not going to ask anybody to turn it in because I promise, how'd your parking lots turn down this week? Did you actually take the time to take that parking lot and start filling the people in? Did you take time to pray for them? I bet it took longer than you thought to sit down and think about what people want. But I have good news for you. Remember last week I told you when I handed out those parking lots? By the way, if you weren't here for the parking lot challenge, ask somebody that was here last week, and they'll explain what they had, what their homework was. Remember the first thing I told you about your parking lot, what were you supposed to do? X off your spot. Here's the good news. This week, we're going to talk about your spot. We're going to talk about your prayer life and about what this is good for you. And of course, Bruce has some infinite wisdom as he's trying to answer all these prayer requests. He decides, I'm going to do yes to all. Give them everything that they want. That'll fix the problem. It didn't. It's going to create kind of some chaotic moments. But it's a reminder to us today as we head into what's going to be a very personal sermon. Just because we ask does not obligate God to grant it. We need to remember that. Just because I took the time to ask God for something doesn't mean that God has to give it to me. We drew an analogy a few weeks ago. Just because a child asks a parent, I want this, doesn't mean that you get it. Just because you listed it on your Christmas list doesn't mean it winds up underneath the tree. Well, God, just because you took the time to pray, remember, God's got a bigger picture than you. And so sometimes it doesn't always work out the way that we think it should. So it's important that we remember this as we head into this particular sermon, because we're going to talk about something that's very personal today that is very important to all of us. Now, we're studying this thing that I nicknamed the model prayer. Some people call it the Lord's Prayer. It's whatever title you want to put on it. I call it the model prayer because it was the lesson that Jesus used right after the disciples came to him and said, Jesus, teach us to pray. He said, okay, let me give you an outline. And so that's kind of what he did. So we've already talked about the beginning part of the outline where we identified who God was, and he is the Father. We already talked about the most important part of the prayer, the part that Jesus started off with, was to pray for the kingdom and God's will, which when you break that down, that came down to praying for people that are outside the kingdom and praying for the kingdom to grow, which is praying for the parking lot of the church, which is basically the people that are outside of the body that we're trying to lift up for their salvation needs. And well, as we continue forward, we're going to talk about the concept of needs. Now, if you look at this screen, you're like, that looks vaguely familiar. Man, I hope so, because I had almost the exact same screen up just about 4 weeks ago. I just changed the background on it. When we define the word need, there are three basic categories. We're going to talk about the third category, which is spiritual needs, going down the road over the next 2 weeks. But for this week, we're going to talk about needs in the sense of physical needs, which is basic. The food, the shelter, the clothes, the transportation, the health, things that are part of my physical body. And we're going to talk about emotional needs, which are also things that have to do with present day on this planet because of it's the fact that I'm lonely or I've lost a loved one or there's some kind of need out there. There's an emptiness inside of me. And you know what? This makes up about 95% of our public prayer. And you say, well, that's a bold statement for you to come up with just a number. How do you know? Well, because I did a little experiment. I took the prayer list of the church, and I added up the total number of prayer requests on the list, and then took out the ones that had nothing to do with physical need on the planet, and I divided it. It's called math. All right, and I came up that 95% of our church prayer list are dealing with this concept of needs. Isn't that interesting? Now, since Jesus tells us that our public life, our public prayer life, is nothing more than an outpour of our private prayer life, then you know what the assumption also should be, right? Probably 95% of our private prayer life also has to deal with physical needs and things that I need for the survival here on this planet. As Bruce was rapidly typing on that screen, and I know it was whizzing by really fast, you can go catch it up on YouTube if you want to slow the pace down a little bit. I took that right off of YouTube, so it's out there. You can go get it. But if you paid attention to what was on the screen behind it, it was asking for things like my granny's sick, or was asking for things like, I've got homework, or asking for things, I've got a test tomorrow, or I need a job, or I need a car. And if you just look down the list, if you took the time, all of it that was out there, it was about these physical needs, and he was just going down trying to answer yes to everything. And it's important to us because you understand this idea of needs. It's about the here and now. That's the reason we pray for them. Because I'm interested in the here and now. I'm just interested in getting to today. Okay, and that's all my focus is. I don't really see much further down. Maybe some of the prayer requests are a little further down, but they're still just about getting through this life. So these are an important section of prayer requests because they make up such a big part of our prayer life. But I'd like to do a little experiment. Again, I'm sorry, this is math. If you don't like math, bear with me for just a minute. Let's take the model prayer and let's run God's numbers when it comes to this idea of needs. Okay, it's really simple. The model prayer as it exists in Matthew chapter 6 is about 53 words long. Give or take, depending on your translation. If you use the King James, it's actually just a few more. If you use the International Standard, it's a few less. But the average is around 53 words long. Okay? The request for needs is only 6 words long. So give us today our daily bread. 6 words. So when Jesus taught prayer, only 11% of the prayer was for physical needs or daily needs. Do you find that interesting? Especially when I look at my prayer life, which consumes 95% of it, Jesus' prayer life only consumed 11%. I mentioned to you last week that the only place in the Bible that you can actually find Jesus praying for his own needs was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Right before he was facing the cross. And even that prayer was like, you know what, if we can find a better way, let's do it. But you know what, I'm still okay with the idea. I'll do whatever you want, God. So 11% of prayer in the model prayer was designated to these idea of physical needs. Just let that seep through you just a little bit about how much God looks at it versus how much we look at it. No matter what translation you use, and when you section up the model prayer, this section of the prayer is by far the shortest. Do you find that fascinating? I mean, shouldn't this be the longest? Isn't this the important stuff? I mean, this is the stuff that affects my daily life. This is the stuff that's important to me. We're talking about me. I want you to find the 3 little buttons that Bruce pushed and do yes to all. Okay, yes to me will be good enough. Okay, you don't have to do all. Just yes to me is what I'm really after because this is important to me, but for some reason, when I look at this, God seems to have a different perspective on it. Now, here's what I want to make sure you don't miss. It's not wrong to ask for needs. It is part of the model prayer. Okay? He didn't leave this out. He didn't say you're never supposed to ask God for something that has to do with the here and now. He did not mean that you're not supposed to pray for health when you're sick. He did not mean that you're not supposed to ask for things that you're lacking. As a matter of fact, that's a big part of prayer, but you do understand it's not the major part of prayer. But it's not wrong to ask for physical or emotional or needs that have to do with the daily life. But what we do want to discuss this week is I'm praying for needs, and I don't want you to miss the little caption I put down below it, and maturing your prayer life. Because that's really what this is all about. This is not about whether it's wrong or right to pray for this or that. Is it okay to ask God for lottery numbers? Is it okay to ask God for a new car? Is it okay to ask God for a girlfriend or a boyfriend? Or is it okay to ask God to spare somebody's life? All of that stuff, we can discuss that at a different point. I am more interested in helping you understand what it means to mature your prayer life. And I got to show you something that I showed you a lot last summer. This sermon comes with a warning label. This sermon could be very easily taken in a way that would make you be offended. You can look at this and get very offended at a few of the statements that are going to be made, but I want you to put them back in context and then go home and just kind of ponder the idea of what it means to have your prayer life to become mature. Now, I want to give you some good news. It's a really short section of Scripture. Therefore, the outline is also really short. There are only really 4 or 5 little things that we can pull out, 4 or 5 little words that we can look at, and we have to start right off at the front. Give. Now, That's how this section starts. Give. Gimme. Okay, that's a better way. This is us asking God, which just means cause, allow someone to have something. So this is what we want God to do. And you know what? God is okay with that. Isn't that what he said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13? If you then, though, are evil and know how to give a good gift to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So you do understand the idea that God wants us to ask him, and he is okay with the idea that we want him to give us things. Again, I can go back to children. Children do not have a problem asking for what they need. And here's the deal. The smaller they are, the better they are at asking. Just go to Rachel's house, and then where Martin has just arrived. Martin has no problem telling you when he's hungry. Probably nice and loud, or when he's uncomfortable, probably nice and loud. Children have no problem for this. The problem is as we grow older, we get this idea that we're supposed to be these totally self-sufficient people, and we're never supposed to ask for anything, and we're supposed to be able to take care of ourselves. And so this begins to put gaps to it. But when it comes to God, for some reason we think, okay, I can just ask. But here's the thing you need to know, that there are some conditions on asking. What? There are conditions? I'm not just allowed to come and ask God for anything and everything and just expect the lamp to just keep popping out the wishes? No. God gives some very remarkable conditions. In James chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, what causes spites and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you want, what you get on your own pleasures. Now, I want to make sure I say this correctly, because this does not mean that if you did not get what you asked for in a prayer request that you asked with the wrong motives. No. This does not mean that if you didn't get your prayer request answered in the way that you wanted it answered, that God doesn't like you or that you did something wrong. That's not the way that you interpret this. The best way to look at this is a lot of times we don't get for what we ask for when it comes to our needs, because we're not asking for our needs, we're asking for our wants. We're asking for our desires so that we can feed our own pleasure. Yeah, God, I need a boat. No, I don't. I don't even swim. What do I need a boat for? Okay, I need a new car. No, you don't. I mean, you know what? Cars are cars. I mean, if yours is broken, you need a car, maybe not a new one, but you need a transportation. Lord, I need you to heal me. Well, no, you just need the grace maybe to live with the illness that he's given you. See the big difference in how this works? A lot of times we're asking God for what I want to happen, not what I need to happen. And so our prayers go unanswered, or we think they're going unanswered because I asked for something that I want. And God said, you know what? I'm not going to always give you what you want. You ever had that happen at Christmas time? You asked your parents or somebody for something, and you thought it was something that you really needed, and you got something else, and when you opened it, you were disappointed. You're like, well, that isn't what I asked for. But then maybe a few months later you realize, wow, what a cool gift this was, because I didn't really ask for it, but man, did I need it. That's the condition here. Okay, when you're asking, sometimes we ask with improper motives, and that can cause a barrier. But quite often what we're asking for is not what I need. I'm asking God for what I want. So the second little area that we got to look at is the idea of us and our. Give us today our daily bread. And us and our is quite simple. Us is used by a speaker to refer to themselves and one or more other people. Or the our is belonging or associated with the speaker and one or more other people. So you get the idea of what we're praying here for, right? Simply speaking, we are making requests for the needs of other, for my needs and others' needs. So this is where this begins. I am making a request because you need something, and so I'm going to take your prayer request. Or I need something, I'm going to take mine, and I am going before God, and I am asking for them. So this is that simple little point of prayer. But you do understand that there's a maturity issue in this. When you start out in prayer, this is the easiest thing to pray for. Is it not? I mean, if you don't have food, it's very easy to pray for food. If you don't have a car, it's very easy to pray for a car. If you are sick, it is very easy to ask God to heal you. This is the easy part of prayer. So when Jesus talks about this, he wants us to begin to incorporate this, but you do understand this is not the end of prayer. See, we begin to learn to pray for my needs. I start out, give me today my daily bread. Then as I begin to mature, we mature and learn to pray and ask for others' needs. So that my needs become smaller and theirs become bigger. So my prayer life begins to change. And it stops just being about my needs and starts being about others' needs. By the way, this is also when the time factor starts to go up. When I'm praying for my needs, my prayers are usually very small because I can rattle my needs off very quick. I can tell you what I don't have. Okay, not a problem. When I start praying for others, it gets a little more complicated because that means usually I have to write it down or make a note of it, or I have to put it in my phone to give me a reminder that, hey, this person had a prayer need at 1 o'clock today, so I need to pray for that. I actually do that at times. I put little reminders to myself that I'm supposed to stop and pray for this person at this point because our lives get busy. But as we continue to mature, you know what's also supposed to happen? Our requests are supposed to mature. This is what Jesus says about a maturing prayer life. And do not set your heart on what you will eat and drink, and do not worry about it. And then he says an interesting term. He says, for the pagan world. Wait a minute. Not the church world. This is how the pagan's life, prayer life goes. Anybody can ask for their own needs. For the pagan world runs after such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But a maturing prayer life connects back to last week's sermon, but seek his kingdom. And these things will be given to you as well. You get what Jesus is saying here. Yeah, God knows the things that you need, and he's okay with you asking for it. But as your prayer life matures, then you should build a dependency on God that you understand. He's got those needs met, and he wants your attention to turn to praying for the kingdom. And as you're praying for the kingdom, God will continue to meet your needs. See, that's the way this is supposed to work. Now you understand why he structured the prayer there, because we wouldn't understand what he means by praying for the kingdom unless we did this sermon last week. But now we understand. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is on heaven. He's talking about building the kingdom here on earth by meeting the spiritual needs of others. And as I begin to mature in my prayer life, that's what begins to happen. I begin to pray for others. Remember I told you there were some offensive parts of this movie? Into this little sermon here? Well, should it be prayed for? Yes. If it's important to you, it's important to God. So there is no need too small. We'll come back to that point in a moment. James says to pray for your needs and your start. So James is telling us that we're supposed to pray for our needs and our start. This is what James says in James chapter 5, verses 13 through 14. Is any among you troubled? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call to the elders of the church and pray over them. So this idea that James says you to pray for your own needs, and this is an important thing because if you're not willing to take the time to pray for your needs, you shouldn't ask others to pray for your needs. Does that statement bother you? If you're not willing to pray for the needs yourself, then why would you come ask somebody else to pray for it? If it's not important enough for you to stop what you're doing and get in front of God and ask God for it, then why on earth should you expect of somebody else to do the same and it to be important? You see, this is that idea of a maturing prayer life. God desires that we have a prayer life that is maturing. So let's talk about this idea of bread. And we're going to talk a little bit more about this idea with James. And yes, I lost my place there for a minute because I ran off on a little rabbit trail. So why did Jesus pick bread? Well, in his culture, it would have been the most basic and purchaseable need. That's important. He didn't say, give us today my daily camel. I mean, because camels were useful, but that was an expensive item. He picked the small item. He picked the thing that everybody needed bread, and everybody purchased bread. So thus a request for bread, that it means that no one's need was too small. I had someone once tell me that they were bothered about the way people made requests in prayer in church for prayer, because they prayed for insignificant things. I want you to take a real close look at that little passage that I read to you out of James. It says, any among you trouble, in trouble. Does it say how much trouble? How much trouble constitutes trouble? I mean, if I have a little bitty problem, then guess what? I got trouble. If I have a big problem, I have trouble. But it doesn't say if you're in a lot of trouble. It just says if you're in trouble. It says if any of you are happy, you should pray. So how much is happy? Well, the moment you're happy, so that means it doesn't matter if it's a big happy or a little happy. The moment you have something to praise God about, then you're supposed to praise God for it. It says, any among you sick? And notice it didn't say any among you terminally ill. It didn't say any of you greatly sick. You do realize if you have a cold, then technically you're sick. And if that cold is impacting your life, then God asks that you bring that need to him. If you have a hangnail and it's stopping you in your life, then you know what? God said, that's fine. He's okay with that. Think about it again like a little child. You ever had a little child get what they call a boo-boo? They come to you and you look at their leg and you can't even see a spot. But what do they want? I want a Band-Aid. Because the Band-Aid makes it all better, right? We teach our kids this, but God's trying to teach us also that we're supposed to bring everything to him in prayer, no matter how big, no matter how small. It should be prayed for. If it's important to you, it's important to God. Now, here's the problem. How you pray is a direct indicator of the maturity of your level of your Christian life. It is. How you pray is a direct indicator of how mature your Christian life is. So if your Christian prayer life right now is all consumed with my needs, then understand that's okay if you're a beginning at this whole thing. If you're just now starting a prayer life and this teaches you to pray, is the first time you've ever tried to build your own prayer life, and the only thing you can think about to pray about is yourself, then understand that's okay. Now, if that's how we are in a few years from now, even a few months from now, that's a problem. Because as I grow, then I should begin incorporating other people's prayers into my prayer life, right? And then eventually, as Jesus was saying it, then guess what? I should be able to incorporate more than just give me today. What I should begin incorporating is, you know what? I see this person out here whose life is far from God, and I begin praying for their life. You see, this is that concept of a maturing prayer life that we seem to miss. And just so you know, I told you to be careful. How the church prays is a sort of an indicator of the maturity level of the body. Huh? So if the only thing the church can ever think about to pray about is itself, then what does that tell you about the church? It means that our prayer life has gotten very small, because the only needs that I can ever think about is my own. If the only thing I can ever think about is my needs and just the needs of those that are immediately connected to me, then you understand that's better, but that's still a very small part of your prayer life. Remember, this is only 11% of the model prayer, so if I put it back in context, that means we still have 89% we're supposed to be praying for. And God is trying to, I think, a sample here and telling us, you know what? Your prayer life needs to expand out to include more than just praying for these physical needs. So, today, this is important. Give us today our daily bread. Today is defined as the present day. Daily is done, produced, or occurring every day. So you understand, when Jesus teaches this, he is teaching us how to pray daily. Now, that means very much to us, because that means we're not supposed to pray for a month at a time. Give us this month our monthly food. You know why that's not a good idea? Because if God gave you a month of food, and when food is what you needed, how long before you come back to God? A month. When you run out, you'll be back, right? It's kind of like the grocery store. We know it's time to go to the grocery store when you open the cabinets and there's no food, right? That would be the same way we would work with God. We would ask God for what we need for a period of time. God gave us that. We'd go away and we wouldn't think about God again until, guess what? The cupboard got empty again. So Jesus comes into this idea of, hey, look, when it comes to your physical needs, then you know what? this should be a daily prayer for you. Do you know how much that would change our prayer life if we actually did that? Think about that for a second. If I actually only prayed for one day's sustenance, one day at a time. That'd make a good name for a TV show. Now, they've already done that. So if I only prayed for one day, that means tomorrow I got to come back and do it again. And the next day, I got to come back and do it again. And the next day, I've got to come back and do it again. And it just keeps going and going and going. You see, daily prayer changes the point of prayer. You see, the point of prayer is usually I ask, I get, and I go away. But when I begin to pray on a daily basis, instead of asking God to fix the problem, we begin to help ask God to help us live with the issue. That means maybe instead of asking God to heal me, on my daily prayer, yeah, it's okay to ask for healing, but maybe on my daily prayer, I should be asking God to, hey, God, just let me live this day as best I can with the illness I've got. And that means when I get to the end of the day and I'm still here, then guess what? God answered the prayer. And that means tomorrow morning when I get up, I'm going to have to ask God again, hey, God, I would really love to be healed, but if that's not what you want, can you just let me live this one day as best I can in your presence with the illness that I've got? And then when that day ends, guess what? Prayer answered. You see what happens? It changes the point of prayer. It stops saying the Christmas list, gimme, 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 and it starts the idea of, hey, look, the relationship, this is a daily relationship. I'm going to get up every single day and ask you for what I need. It also changes the persistence of prayer. Jesus told a parable about this. He told a little parable about a woman and an unjust judge and how she worried the judge to death until the judge finally gave her what he wants. Now, sometimes I wonder if God is waiting for our persistence. Just keep asking him. Have you ever had a kid that did that? There was something they wanted, and they just kept asking. And they just kept asking, and weeks would go by, and they would keep asking for the same thing. And finally, you're like, okay, I'm going to give it to them just because they're worrying me to death. No, that's not. We're not trying to worry God to get death. But you do understand, God does want to see how important is this thing you're asking for. I mean, if I can pray for it one time and go away and never ask for it again, then what does that probably mean? It was a whim. It was a fad. It was something that touched my moment, and I've moved on. I found something else that I want more, right? But if it's something that I have to come and ask every single day and I keep asking for it, then God said, you know what? He understands, or she understands, the importance of what they're doing. You see, it changes the persistence of prayer because I have to do this every single day. Well, you think that would do the Bruce email account? Ding, 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 ding. The prayer requests just keep coming and coming and coming. It changes the praise of prayer. You ever had a prayer request that you put out there and maybe it was months before it got answered? Or, you know, maybe years, or maybe it never got answered. And so guess what you never got to do? Praise God for the answer. Where if I'm praying for the daily stuff, then that means I can pray for it in the morning and praise for it in the evening. That changes our entire perspective of God. It changes the appreciation level of what we've been granted for the day. It changes the idea that, you know what, God, I'm going to ask for it in the morning, and if I'm still here at the end of the day, then that means either it really wasn't a need, I didn't need it, or you provided it. And so I can praise you either way I go. Now, you realize what this is setting up, right? We're about to go from let's pray one time a day to let's pray at least two, because we should be praying in the morning for the needs and in the evening for the grants. It changes the priority of the prayer. Now, I want you to think about this really hard. If you have a daily need, what good is it to pray for it in the evening? Why does that not make no sense? Because the day is over. If you have something you need that day, when do you have to pray for it? At the start of the day. You know, I mean, you don't ask for it after the moment has passed, right? That wouldn't be a very good idea. So the whole idea is that if you're going to pray on a daily basis and you're going to pray for daily needs and God to daily meet your needs, then that means daily, this is where you start your day. That's incredible. If we just maybe took that lesson to heart and we started each and every day with a prayer. Let me ask you a question. This brings some conviction to my own life. What hits the ground first? Your feet to do action or your knees to do praying? Which one is it? When you get up in the morning, what's the priority? The shower or the prayer? What's more important to you, the snooze button or getting out of bed and meeting God in prayer in the morning? Now, I must tell you, I am not a morning person in that perspective. I usually catch up with God sometime right around the time I get to work. I get myself ready and I get kids out the door and I get where I'm supposed to go. But I just want to think about this idea. Maybe I've got the wrong perspective. Maybe the first thing should be get up 5 minutes earlier and start your day with prayer. Just for the basics, just to get the day started good. I wonder how much that would change my life if I took that lesson into my own life and started working that way. You see, I don't have this all figured out either. But I do understand this. If I decide to do it the way Jesus is telling us to do it, everything changes. See, this idea of give us today our daily bread, it might be short, but it's incredibly powerful. You see, God is just kind of churning the waters, letting us say, look, you start putting your prayers out there, you start seeing me do action, and then you start seeing me do action, you and I can talk in the evening and praise. You can praise, and then we can talk some more, and you'll build more of a dependence on God. I think the problem is we're asking the wrong way. We're asking God, give me the month. And God said, let's just worry about today, folks. See, the lesson out of all of this is pray daily. It isn't the pray, what you're going to pray for, or how you're going to pray, or the words. Your words can be as simple as, hi, God, here's the list for today. And you can just read the list to him. That's okay. That's a good way to start. As a matter of fact, I'm going to give you a chance to start. I have volunteers this week. There's Benji. Thank you, Benji. By the way, I did not coach him to do that. He just wanted to volunteer. Anybody else want to help him? Okay. What I want you to do is make sure you give one of these to every single person in the sanctuary, whether they're a guest, a first-time visitor, long-time person been here. And I made it pink because that makes it harder for you to lose it, okay? Plus the fact the pink paper just happened to be on top of the cabinet this week. And you will see when you get your paper, there are two columns, all right? So here's what you do. You start on the back of the page, all right? And what I want you to do on the back of the page is just write down what you think you need to make it through a day. Okay? So it can be anything. So give you a good example. Food. So if you need food, you write food. And when I say need, I don't mean that you have it. It's something that you need. If you need gas or transportation, just write it all down on some kind of a list. And then when you finish that, this is what I want you to do. If it's something that you need to make it through your day and you have it, so that means if food is on your list and your cabinet is full of food, then you write it on the praise side because that means that God has already met that need and we're going to praise God for it. If it's something that you don't have that you feel you need, then I want you to write it on the prayer side. Okay? This isn't hard, right? Anybody can do that. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to take this list, and in the morning when you get up, I want you to try just what I just told you. Hi, God, here are the things that I think I need for the day. And then just read the list off to him. Again, I can't teach you to pray unless I first teach you to pray. So unless I can teach you to get in front of God with your request, then there's no hope that I'm ever going to be able to teach you to pray how we want our church to be able to pray. So I want you to pray for your basic needs. Now, these are your needs, all right? Then over on this side, when you get to the evening, if it's something that you have, then you get to praise God for it. Now here's the cool thing. If it was something that you needed on this list, and you get to the evening and you got it, that means you get to write it over here, and then you get to praise God for that in the evening. Now here's the deal. If you do this right, after you make the initial list, you do realize we're talking probably 5 minutes and 5 minutes. So I'm asking for 10 minutes a day for 7 days, so I'm asking for about an hour and 10 minutes of your time. That doesn't sound like a big investment in this, does it? But here's the deal. A lot of us are going to take this home and we're going to fold it up and we're going to stick it inside of our Bible. and we're going to forget all about it till next week. When I mention it, you're like, oh yeah, there was a pink piece of paper I was supposed to do this week. Let me encourage you. You want to start building a prayer life with God? You want to be taught how to pray? Then let's just start with the basics. Now, I realize this is the beginning. This is not where we want to end our prayer life, but let's just start with these basics. Let me encourage you. This week, give me 1 week. Give this a try. See if starting your day and ending your day with this simple prayer just about your needs doesn't at least get the conversation started when it comes to who God is. We're going to do a time of decision, and we call it that. Sometimes I think we should call it the time of invitation, because you're invited to do whatever it is that you need to do. Maybe that something is that you have a need that needs to be prayed for. Well, here's what you do. That little card on the inside of your bulletin, write the need on it, bring it forward, ask God for it silently, and then just drop it in the bucket. That's it. Maybe you're here today and you have a bigger need in your life, something is going on, and you need somebody to pray with you. This time of decision, invitation is also for you. You can bring those needs forward. I'll be happy to pray with you. Maybe you're here this morning and you've got the big, big need, and that is you've never accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Maybe this idea of the kingdom, you're on the outside of the kingdom looking in, and you're interested in knowing what does it mean to be a Christian. You know what? I got good news for you. You're in the right place. All you got to do is during this time of invitation, you come on down. I'll sit you down with somebody to turn the pages of Scripture, and we'll help you understand what it means to have a faith in Christ and what it means to be a follower. Invitations are always about you do whatever God is asking you to do.